In this episode, we unravel three chilling tales. The mysterious Orion Cube, an alien device granting visions of the future. The haunting presence of a bat-like demon in an ordinary home. And the strange encounter of a 9-year-old boy witnessing a blonde man stepping out of a portal. Join me as we journey through enigmatic realms, seeking answers to the unknown, and venturing down those strange pathways less traveled. Hello and welcome to Strange Pathways. I am your host, Scott Mort. I've had a very lonely week. I hope your week has been better than mine. My wife is spending time in the Bahamas, and I miss her greatly. This home has turned into a house. It just doesn't feel right without her. And we've got one more week, and then she'll be back. So, we'll get through it. I'm one of those suckers that absolutely loves his wife. And I hope, if you don't already have somebody like that in your life, I hope you find someone like that soon. Now, on to today's tales. Born in 1964, Dan Bierish was a California wunderkind. He studied microbiology and psychology at the University of Las Vegas, Nevada, graduating in 1986, gaining his PhD in microbiology in 1989 in the state of New York. Now, it's not always science for Dan. He has been a sports fan since childhood. He plays basketball. But his true passion is science. He was the youngest member ever of the Microbiology Society of Los Angeles. Now, in 1986, at the University of Las Vegas, Dan Bierish was visited by the, in his words, secret government of the United States. These two men were in military uniform. They offered him a chance to work on a top secret project. This would allow Dan to put his talent to work at an incredible level. In 1987, Dan Bierish is beginning to work at the Nevada State Government Office. He's working in prison parole. In 1989, though, he begins receiving tissue samples. Bierish examines them and then sent the report back to that so-called secret government. In 89, Bierish has the chance to work on a secret project, Sharp Storm. In 94, he's taken to an underground base called Century 4, part of Area 51. And it's there that he starts to work on the Aquarius Project. If Bierish is to be believed, he has a story that blows Bob Lazar's out of the water. Whereas Bob Lazar seemed to be very compartmentalized at his work at Area 51, Bierish was working at the highest levels. While at Century 4, he learned that the military was in possession of ships and beings. Many, many different ships and many, many different beings. He's privy to information about beings called Orions, other beings from Zeta Reticuli. As Bierish works through all of this information, he begins to realize that humanity has a very misguided concept of what aliens are. Aliens and extraterrestrials, they're not all the same. Some aliens are beings that come from other planets, but some of them are humans from the future. Time travelers. And they travel in time to solve problems. They are from the Earth. They are part of the evolution of humanity. But they are thousands and thousands of years ahead of us. Now, these time travelers, they're all classified with the letter P. The letter P means present time. And then the number after that is the thousands of years in the future that they're from. For example, the Roswells are known as P-24s. That means that they are the time travelers, P, present time, plus 24,000 years into the future. Beerish begins a relationship with a certain group of P-type beings, J-Rods. There is J-Rod P-45, J-Rod P-52, J-Rod P-54. These J-Rods suffer from a very painful illness. And Beerish was tasked in this project to try to find a cure. He's taken blood samples, tissue samples, and worked on the project with the J-Rod for 2 years. Beerish is convinced the J-Rod have come to establish a friendly relationship with humanity. He's communicated with them. One of the J-Rod telepathically transmitted a large amount of information. According to this J-Rod, Beerish learned that in the future, 2/3 of humanity dies in a nuclear catastrophe. The silly thing is, 10 years ago, I would have found that unlikely, but with the way the world is now, I didn't think it would get this bad in 10 years, honestly. Now it seems extremely likely. According to the J-Rod, part of humanity hid underground to survive. Others survived on the surface. And 24,000 years later, the most advanced beings on Earth could time travel. The Roswell ship was not an alien craft. It was a time machine. It didn't come from another planet. It came from Earth, just Earth in the future. Beerish, though, is not the only one saying this. There is a book called The Day After Roswell, written by Colonel Philip J. Corso. Now, according to Philip Corso, these beings, the P-24s, they were made to travel in space-time. They have two brains. One of them controls the ship. The other one controls the alien's body. These do not reproduce. They are incapable of reproducing. Other groups of survivors of the extinction, they evolve on Mars. They evolve on the moon. And finally, they evolve in Orion, where the P-52 come from. These are still human descendants. Just those that colonized other places. Now, the P-45, Beerish says, the P-45 were the most violent. They were really, really, really keen on causing that nuclear catastrophe so that they could justify their existence. The P-45, the ones that abduct people and mutilate cattle, Those are the P-45. They are responsible for the majority of abductions, and they lack empathy. Essentially, very highly evolved sociopaths. In order to avoid the nuclear catastrophe, President Dwight D. Eisenhower met with these aliens. And I'm using that term aliens in a very umbrella sense. In these meetings, discussions between civilizations were made. An agreement was adopted to abduct human beings in order to study them. The Orions gave Eisenhower a cube, 8 centimeters wide, 8 centimeters long, and this cube was able to predict the future. And it is passed along between rich and powerful so that they're able to choose well in their lives. Burish also talks about stargates. These are gates made to travel within the universe. Made on Earth, but with extraterrestrial technology. And they've been around for a long time. According to Burish, you can find information on how to make them in Sumerian tablets. There's an enormous ring, and next to this enormous ring is a platform. You can throw an object through the wormhole to travel to other stars. You can teleport materials, people from one place to another instantly. Burish says they're not very reliable. He's seen people die. Other devices that he saw were Project Looking Glass, which was a device that was used to see the probabilities of future events. According to Dr. Burish, there are 50 stargates on Earth. All of them have been dismantled. We are still in danger of extinction today. What do you make of this story? Let me know in the comments down below. Is this fanciful wish-telling? Is this hokum akin to ancient aliens? Or is what we're seeing just another whistleblower? As goofy as Giorgio Tsoukalos seems to be, and I do use that word goofy, it certainly seems that every single day he is closer to being proven correct. In my daily life, I'm a stock trader. I use a program at my job called Interactive Broker Workstation. Of course, the stocks that we're trading show up there, but to the right, there's a news feed. Stuff about articles, you know, articles about news that could affect the market. And on Friday, they had an article about UFOs. That's how serious things are getting. Traders are worried that news about UFOs are going to affect their bottom line. This is real. We are on the verge of something amazing. And I don't know if I want to see it or not. Our next tale is going to take us to right around Christmas of 2020, somewhere in the United States Southwest. Now, right before that Christmas, Shannon Rogers moved into a new house by a lake. Madison Rogers, her daughter, her boyfriend, helped her move. Shannon also has a young son, Jamie. Now, as they're going through this house, unpacking their boxes, the previous owner had left a few things behind. It's happened in almost every house I've ever moved into. A Christmas tree ornament, a guitar. That's what the Rogers family finds. Right away, though, Shannon hears her son, Jamie, talking to an imaginary friend. Other strange things start to happen. Things moving, odd sounds, whiffs of odd smells. Shannon begins to wonder, is my home haunted? If so, what is it haunted by? Was it the previous owner, an elderly woman? Madison, her daughter, thought Shannon was going a little nuts. She doesn't believe any of it. One night, though, Shannon hears the music box playing on its own. The loud bangs, they're happening more and more frequently. Shannon, one day, is watching her son play, and she notices wet footprints leading in to the living room. There, standing behind the table in the living room, is a dripping, wet little girl who immediately vanishes. Another day, Shannon walks into one of the rooms and sees a man with long hair sitting on the bed. She looks at this old man and goes, who the hell are you? And he goes, tell his sister she can have the guitar and that he's sorry. The man then pulls out a gun, shoots himself in the head, and fades away. Shannon's world is absolutely rocked. She has seen two things that are extremely, extremely traumatizing. Shannon's a lot like me. Whenever she sees things that scares her, she investigates. She does her history work and finds that a young girl drowned at that lake nearby. She also finds out that a man had killed himself in her house. She does a little bit more work, finds that man's sister. The landlord does help her. She tracked her down and gave the guitar to her. A few nights later, Shannon's lying in bed. She goes to check on her son, and she sees a demon standing in his room. Shannon had spoken to a psychic, and the psychic said that this suicide had opened a portal in the home, allowing multiple spirits to move through it. The psychic worked with Shannon. They believed they had closed it, but something remained in the house. Madison, Shannon's daughter, and her boyfriend, Edward, they got laid off, and they were forced to move into the house to save money. Madison's boyfriend, Ed, started to act weird. Shannon woke up one night. made her way into the kitchen and sees Ed sitting at the dining room table. He's behaving very strangely. Later, Shannon, trying to rest in bed, was levitated out of it. This was witnessed by Madison. Madison shrieks whenever she sees her mother levitating, and then a force pulls Madison out of the room by her feet. It's dangerous to live here. Madison and Ed move out. Shannon's son, Jamie, goes to live with Shannon's mother. And Shannon is at the house alone. The banging increases. Desperate, Shannon tells the creature, "Show itself!" And it does. She looks up and sees this creature standing in her hallway. It's human in shape. Long, pointed ears. Bat-like arms and wings. Its appearance is very avian, very bird-like. Shannon decided, right then and there, to move out. Now she lives in an RV and tours this country as a paranormal investigator. Once you experience this stuff, be it Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, if you have that experience, a lot of us start to search out the answers. It doesn't surprise me at all. If you want, you can see this story in Eli Roth Presents A Ghost Ruined My Life, Season 1, Episode 1. The thing that scares me is I don't believe there is any place safe on this planet. I mean, with aliens, you can defend yourself to a certain extent. With cryptozoological creatures, once again, you don't hold a lot of a chance. But if something goes bad, you've got a little bit of a chance. But ghosts, I mean, how do you fight that? The rules are all very tenuous and terrifying. You have to sleep. You have to eat. You have to have quiet. And these entities seem really, really good at taking that away from you. At taking away your very ability to control your own body. It's a frightening circumstance. I've never seen any type of possession. I have been in many, many haunted houses. I'm from Pennsylvania. The entire state is just riddled with haunted houses. I've been in houses I've been told were haunted and nothing has happened. I've been in houses that are freshly built. No history at all. And they're still active. Things are still happening in them. I've even been in homes where one person is seeing things, hearing noises, seeing entities, and the other one isn't. And it's almost split down the middle. These three people are seeing it that live in the house. These two are not. It's terrifying. How do you even combat it? I have a love-hate relationship with Reddit. I go over to the X boards a lot. I find great stories, great theories over there. Posts that challenge my thinking. I find a lot of crap over there as well. Find a lot of hate over there. I find substantially less hate and crap over on Reddit, but I'm not a fan of how anything on Reddit can just up and vanish. The amount of occurrences, true stories, solutions that have just up and vanished really, really breaks my heart. I saved this one. I saved it as a PDF. I every time I see an interesting story on really anywhere, any of the websites that I go to, Phantoms and Monsters, the Reddit, the X boards, Inexplicado, Above Top Secret, Think About It Docs, any of those places, Control P, save as PDF. I was surprised whenever I went back to this, because I've also bookmarked this, and it was still there. This is about a year old, but I really, really found this story interesting. This story was told by Reddit user Bushido Brown. One day, Bushido Brown and his stepdad were watching a movie with Bushido Brown's little sister. They were watching Spider-Man No Way Home. Fun little fact, fun little side fact, the creator of Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, Ditko, is from right here in Johnstown. Steve Ditko is from right here. We have an amazing Spider-Man mural downtown. Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. They're sitting down watching Spider-Man No Way Home. And the scene where Spider-Man's friend Ned uses the spell to make all the other Spider-Men pop in from alternate dimensions is on the screen. And his stepdad goes, yeah, I've seen stuff like that before. And Bushido Brown goes, what? Goes, yeah, that portal thing before. And he goes, Bushido Brown says, what do you mean? He goes, well, it doesn't look exactly like this. The one I saw was smaller. It was solid purple on the inside, but it had the yellow perimeter around it, but no fireworks. Like, you know, in the Spider-Man movie, they spark around the edge. Bushido Brown is confused, and he said, okay, tell me. Where did you see a Doctor Strange portal? His stepdad tells the story of whenever he lived in Guerrero, Mexico. His stepdad was about 9-12 years old whenever this happened. And he was already working with his father. His father and him would build small houses. They'd build walls. They clean up trash and debris from construction. And one day, his little 9-12-year-old stepfather, future stepfather, was bringing a wheelbarrow of cement to the work site. Now, the stepfather's dad and a bunch of guys were building walls on this large ranch. And as his stepdad is bringing up the barrel, he ended up falling, and the cement spilled. Now, the stepdad's father is not a nice, calm man. I hope to God I never become this type of father. But the father goes up and just slaps him over and over and over for spilling it, and tells him, get out before you mess up again. Now this little nine-year-old kid, we'll say he's nine to 12, but we're going to say he's nine, He's crying, he's bleeding, and he runs away because he's 9 and he's just been beaten up by an adult. He finds the best place he can to hide, a small shed that had a bench. And this shed is around 12 foot by 12 foot by 12 foot. Now, this bench, on the inside, it leans against the wall. It's at the very front of the shed, kind of perpendicular to the door. To his left, as he's sitting on this bench, is the entrance. To his right, the rest of the shed, where wheelbarrows, bricks, all the other tools, just leaning right up there. This little 9-year-old boy, he's crying. And as he's crying, he notices a magazine, a car magazine. He needs a distraction. And I understand that. He needs a distraction. And he starts to look through it. He's combing through, looking at the pictures of the cars. And he just feels like something's a bit off. It feels like it's coming from his right side. And he looks to his right. And he just sees all the extra tools at the back of the shed. And he keeps staring, and he keeps staring. Nothing. He looks at the magazine a little bit more, but he's getting that feeling. This time, he looks into the far end of the shed. He looks slightly to the right of his shoulder. And he sees it. There's a purple hole in the wall. The same wall he's leaning on. It's as if someone has stuck a big purple sticker with a yellow outline on the wall, probably about 3 feet in diameter. This little 9-year-old boy, the stepfather, his right shoulder is no more than 5 or 6 inches from the edge of this hole. He leans over and tries to look in it. And then a man's head and half of his torso pops out of this portal. At first, it's just facing that opposite wall. It's looking straight ahead. But then he turns and he's staring at this little boy. And the guy that comes out of the portal is scared. He's scared. And it seems like he's scared that the little boy has seen him. Eyes wide, he just goes back into the portal. The man never got out of it. He just stuck his head through, got scared, pulled it back in. Then the hole just faded away. There's no sound, no smell, no nothing. This little boy freaks out and runs straight for his father, tells him everything. His father goes, "Was it any of the guys that we work with?" His father isn't really understanding the whole supernatural element of this. "Was it any of the guys we work with?" "No." So this boy's father and some of the crew start running for the shed. They're looking for this guy. They take the tools out, and then they go, "Where did he come from?" And the little boy goes, "He came out of a purple hole in the wall." The workmen, the dad, start checking the walls for holes. And the father gets angry, thinks that the boy is just messing with him, and hits him again. And forces him to walk 3 miles home by himself. What a piece of scum. What an absolute piece of scum. Absolute slime. Bushido Brown, asks his stepfather, what did this man look like? And he said, we were in Mexico, but this guy was white, blonde, blue-eyed, mid to late 30s, white guy, skinny. He was wearing a light blue t-shirt. And he said, really, really, it just resembled a surfer guy. Bushido Brown's stepdad says this is the first white person he'd ever seen in real life. The next one would be a woman that he would see in Mexico City 15 years later. They didn't have TV in their home. Some of the businesses did. He had seen white people on TV plenty of times, but never in real life. What was this? Was this an elaborate hallucination brought on by a severe beating? I can't get over how scummy the father is in this. God, I hate people like that. I hate them. Absolutely despise them. Was it an elaborate fantasy? Some sort of mental escape? The blonde guy that popped his head through, if this is real, did the blonde guy initiate the portal? Or did he find a purple hole in the wall and stick his head through? I will tell you this. I'm going to be on the lookout for 3-foot purple holes in walls from now on. But I can also tell you this. If some kid sees me, he's not going to see a skinny blonde white guy. I am white, but I'm neither skinny nor blonde. Thank you for joining us here on Strange Pathways. If you are having mental health trouble dealing with a paranormal incident, please reach out to the Opus Network at www.opusnetwork.org. Our Twitter is Pathways Strange, TikTok and Instagram, Strange Pathways Podcast. We'll have a few images up on our Facebook page as well. Join us over there. And if you want, please email me over at strangepathwaysmail@gmail.com. I would absolutely love to hear from you. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe on our YouTube channel. It really, really helps everything over there. And honestly, I just love hearing from you guys. It makes me feel good deep down in my soul. Thank you once again for joining us here on Strange Pathways. Take care of yourselves and each other.